I need to do. Yesterday, and I've been, the Lord has blessed me. Oh man, the Lord has blessed me. I told Brother Scott and Brother Johnny, some people might say I've been lazy. I've had 4 days off from work. You know what I did? This is not necessarily a Thanksgiving message, but praise God, I used Thanksgiving and enjoyed my family. I mean, I spent nearly the whole time with some or all of my family at the whole 4 days, as much as I could. Kids, grandkids, April. And I want to thank God. I mean, your family, people don't realize it, I don't think. I mean, Christians, I'm sure do. But a lot of people may not realize how important family is. And I want to take the time to thank God for it. I mean, it's right up there in the, if you wanted to put a number on it, in the top five things that God gave us. So what I want to talk about this morning is the family plan of God, or God's family plan, because without the family, things start breaking down severely. So look around you. Just raise your hands. How many folks in here know of people, because of the dysfunction of their family, their life is upside down? Just about everybody in here. How many people know in here the non-dysfunction of the family, because the family is at least going along the guidelines of what God prepared it for, being a mother and a father? And then all of us are here today because we know how important the family is, God's family plan, for the Christian born-again believer. And it starts with the man. Now, I'm not preaching to the men exactly. I'm just talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ, what God gave me to say. God designed and started the family plan. Perhaps we put up Genesis 2, verse 18, please. And the Lord said, Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. The word meet means helper. So God had already created man and set him up in the Garden of Eden in the earth. And he said right there, it's not good for the man to be alone. So therefore, God give him a helper. And we're going to see scriptures we all know and all have read many, many times. But God anointed man to have a family. A lot of people go through life and they don't understand why they're here. They look for the answers of life. What is the meaning of life? Well, for every man, one of the answers of life is to get himself a wife and to start having children and create a family. I'm going to show you in Scripture where God started that in Genesis, and that he didn't mean for it to stop, and he's got guidelines for it. And if every man and woman follows these guidelines, they will have a successful family. They'll have a happy family. They'll have a joyous family. Now, will it be perfect? No, because we don't live in a perfect world. But it will be as close as what God wanted it to be as it can be. But it has to follow God's plan. And we see, Travis put Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 and 23 up, please. So we see that God said it's not good for man to be alone. So he said, Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs or a part of his side and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib or part of his side which the Lord God had taken from the man, he built up and made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And then Adam said, this creature is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. It is not a coincidence the last three letters of the word woman is M-A-N. It's what Adam assigned her name. If you study it in the Bible, the word man, the Hebrew word for it is ish, or ish, to pronounce it correctly. And the female word for it is isha, taken from man. And God had a purpose for this, because when he takes the woman from the man, and whenever they come together, as we'll see in Scripture later, under the covenant of marriage through God, and the family plan starts, If you follow God's family plan according to His Word, it will be successful. That's the way He started it. That's the way He wanted it. So now we see that the man and the woman are one together, because, or supposed to be one together, because the woman was taken from the man. Now, God brought Adam and Eve together. Eve's formed out of the man and started the basis for the family unit. This is a man and a woman. It says clearly in Scripture, God created man. He created he them male and female. Male, of course, refers to the man's side. Female refers to the woman's side. He did not create man and man to be in the conformity of any kind of institution of marriage or commingle, cohabit. The very first basis for the deception that Satan has got in this world for people that want to have same sex, same gender parents, or whatever they want to call themselves, man, man, woman, woman, is they cannot produce another human being. No way on this earth can it happen. I don't care how many surgeries they have. I don't care how many shots they take. It cannot happen. And we're going to see in Scripture that's one of the blessings that God set up for man and woman to have, for the family to have. So God ordains this plan. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, please. Well, 24, we've got 23 there already. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We just read where the woman was taken out of the man. God created the man, took the woman out of the man. They shall be together. They shall cleave together in marriage, become one flesh. That is how the Bible states the act of performing and creating another human being, a baby. It cannot happen any other way. And whenever that happens, it's supposed to stay that way. That's the reason we have the covenant of marriage to God between a man and a woman, or marriage from God between a man and a woman. The family unit is so important because God set it up. No other combination of human beings can produce a family. Now, they can get together in their own way, a male and a male, a female and a female, and they can adopt a child and they say, we've got a family. Not according to God's word. Because we see now that the man and the woman become one flesh. They create a child. Well, that's God's definition of it. A man sometimes wants to do everything they can, or some men do, to frustrate God's will. And Travis, we've put up chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. And this is like I said a while ago. So God created man in his own image. I just want you to see the scripture. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. What is that blessing? Children. Man, it hurts my heart to think about the way some people have treated their blessings in this world. All it is a sign that there's a real devil deceiving real people in a real fallen world, and I don't like it. God doesn't like it. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. So he gives them children. He said, have children, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. If you'll notice, dominion came after what? Be fruitful and multiply. Now, I ain't saying man can't have dominion in earth by himself, but God said it is not good for man to be alone. We just read that in Scripture, so he gave him a helper. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm doing anything, if I have a helper, it's a whole lot easier. So God give us men a helper. Now, that don't mean it's up to the woman to do everything. Man's got his place. Woman's got their place. They're supposed to work together as a family. When children come along, they both work together and raise those children, and they're supposed to raise them. We'll see Scripture, like God said about Abraham, to teach the children about him. And in doing that, we get the blessing of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And I've been sitting in that blessing this week. Man, it's good. Sometimes I've got most of my kids raised. I got two still at home, Damien and Blake. Damien went with her along. He's got a stack of colleges this high he's looking at. But he knows when he leaves here, what do we do on Sundays, Damien? Go to church. Me and April raised him in admonition and learning of the Lord. What he does with it of his own will and his choice when he leaves my household is not up to me, but I've given him everything I know to give him. So therefore, if something happens that he don't want to go along the ways that he's, you know, been taught, I ain't saying he will or that he won't, but if he doesn't, he has a foundation to go back to. So, well, okay, this ain't working, I'm going to go back to this. What does the people that don't go to church, that's not born again, what do they have? Their own way. And God's Word tells us explicitly, lean not to your own understanding, but to lean on the Lord and acknowledge Him in all our ways. So we see in Scripture that not only is the family blessed, God set it up, God made it, it's from God, it's not from man. We're members. We're activated in it. We're active in it. But it is God's. And we have a job, task, whatever word you want to put on it to do. And it's God's desire. Husband, man and woman, husband and wife. I sit and watch my grandkids this weekend. This week. It's been most of the week since Wednesday. We went to Destiny's, her house, and had our Thanksgiving dinner this year. Everybody was there. Man, it felt, I can't even, good is an understatement. To watch all my grown kids together, they're all having a good time. We had a couple extra people there. And to watch all my sons and my daughter, they all were having a good time. There was no fussing. There was no fighting. Nobody got mad. Except maybe the kids. They didn't get their way. I watched the kids run and play. I sat and thought, my granddaddy, whenever I was growing up, he was my hero. I loved my daddy. But at any chance I got, I went to my granddaddy's house. And I'd stay as long as mom and daddy let me stay. Days. Didn't matter to me. Whenever I was real young. And I remember asking my granddaddy one time, he said, well, you got to go home today, son. I said, granddaddy, why do I got to go home? You know, I was like 5 or 6. He said, well, that's where you live. And I said, well, granddaddy, I want to stay with you. And I remember most of the time my granddaddy would give kind of, he wasn't mean, but he'd kind of short, gruff answers like I just said. And he got real soft. He said, well, son, I'd like that too, but your place is with your mom and dad. But you can come back anytime you want to. Now, a child that does not grow up with that kind of family unit, where the grandparents, they were the family unit before. The grandparents has got a role too. But the bottom line is the man and the woman, husband and wife, mother and father, all the roles they play, and the children have a role to play. If that's not set up in God's design and His institute according to His word, and then there's no family. If I didn't have a family, I would not have got enjoyed what I got to enjoy the last 4 days. Of course, the grandkids got to come home with me. Whew. Little Xander's cutting new teeth. He's not happy all the time. And little Athena, we're trying to teach her, you know, she thinks it's her way or the highway. We got to teach her different than that. But on top of it all, sitting back and getting to see that blessing work in my life was the fruit of setting that up in my life to start with. Our last men's meeting, I spoke about the power of choice. That's another one of the top things that God give us. Whenever you choose the right way and God blesses it, it won't be wrong. It can't go wrong. Of course, it's all up to the one who's doing the choosing. But when it comes to your family, make good choices. Like Brother Scotty teaches us, all the young folks, anybody that's not married, go find the one, pray to God, find the one God wants you to have. When you get the spouse, the husband or the wife that God wants you to have, you'll have the helpmate, man, that you need, the helper, and ladies, you'll have the man that'll lead you. You know, I'm not a woman. I can't stand up here and tell you how a woman feels about things, but I can tell you what God's Word said a woman will be whenever she is operating in the confines of God's Word in her marriage between her and her husband. She will be fruitful. And I'm not talking about just bearing kids. I'm talking about everything she does, she's going to be happy about it just about. She'll have a happiness that is beyond words. And there's an old saying out there, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, make mama happy. How do you do that? Take her to church. Everybody gets born again, and everybody's operating in God's will in your family. Everybody's going to be happy. Now, you're going to have ups and downs and trials and tests, and that's just going to happen. That's another thing. Family's supposed to be where we each learn how to love God first and how to love each other according to God's Word. That is what family's supposed to do. I said a while ago, I don't think I give Travis the scripture. I know it's the verses 18 and 19. I don't remember where it's at. And it's, God's talking about when he's going to punish Sodom and Gomorrah, why is he going to keep this from Abraham? And then the next verse, I think it says, Abraham is a friend of God because he said, I'm going to tell Abraham that he may teach his children. That's why God chose Abraham. Well, I want to be chosen by God. I'm going to teach my children about God. Number one, because I know what life is at. I spent out there for 50-something years knowing better and not living it where it got me. I ain't got time this morning to go into an hour and a half of testimony. Most of you's already heard it. But I mean, you're looking at a person that is in the same setting that we are in this morning. My mom and dad took me to church, taught me about God, taught me about Jesus, taught me how to live right. My daddy was an evangelist. Everybody's heard it. When I got out away from them, I used that power of choice and I went the wrong way. And my life was not good. I went to jail for about a year. I nearly went to prison for 10 years. I ate enough bug poison to kill several people, the doctor said, and it didn't kill me. Made me sad, bad sick. I tried to commit suicide with overdosing and drugs. I've been in situations where, in wrecks, where nobody understood how I came out of it alive. I'm going to tell you how I did. The grace of God, to where I can stand here this morning and testify that I chose now to give my life to God and show my family what it's like to serve God and live for God and fulfill the scriptures I'm talking about this morning that I should have already done years ago. But my choices are what they were, and they are what they are now. But I'm going to live by the Word of God now. I'm going to teach my family. I'm going to do it in the confines of the scriptures that we're reading today. But man himself, just like I did, and make a great mess of God's principles concerning the family. Like I said, the family's where we learn to love God and learn about God and how to love each other. Now, when God said in Genesis chapter 2, it's not good for man to be alone. Like I said, the word helpmate means helper. It's translated out of the word to mean helper from the Hebrew language. And if you notice, in the beginning, there was God. The Word says it, Genesis chapter 1. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. From God came man. From man came woman. I just showed you in the scriptures. From man and woman comes children. And like I said, we all got a role to play. When God breathed life into man, that life is still active today. That's the reason we live. The word Adam comes from the name Adam comes from the Hebrew word, I can't even pronounce it, but it means first man. And the name Eve comes from the Hebrew word that means mother of earth, or first mother, rather. And those two together had the life of God breathed in them, woman through man from God. And that's how we have our life today. We are living and breathing the life of God inside us. When we get born again, we now have the indwelled Holy Spirit living inside of us. The only way a man or a woman or a child can be defeated in that is whenever they choose, especially the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, not to operate in God's word according to the family, according to God's word in the family. I'll get it out right in a minute. And although this is kind of like a revelation to me, it may not be to y'all, and I'm once again standing up here talking like a six-year-old, but it's a blessing. And not only my family, I see the other families in this church. I see Brother Scotty and Sister Teresa and their family, Brother Travis, Sister Beth, their children, Brother Johnny, Sister Samantha and their children. And then we start backing up, we say all the way back to Granny. That's a blessing to have all of these folks in here. And we're all sitting down and we're learning about the Word of God. And this is not a coincidence. It started somewhere with a choice. And God blessed that choice. And it's God's perfect plan for us. Travis, you put up Genesis chapter 4. I think I'll just do the first verse. So Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That phrase, that first verse there shows us that they had started down the road of setting up the first family, having children. We see in Scripture that Adam and Eve came together, had a son, and she named him, and why she named him so. That's what he told him to do back in Genesis chapter 1, and they have fulfilled it, and it's been happening ever since. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but anyway. We see also, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, that God did his creation of the earth, of the land, of the sea, of the animals, and then man, and then woman from man. And he said, behold, he saw that it was good. We all know that God don't create junk. God don't create destruction. God don't create bad. God's word said, behold, it was good. So he set all of this up and said, behold, it is good. So God created a place for man, a helper for man, and then for man and woman, he gave them the earth and blessed them in it. Everybody might think, well, okay, what's the problem? The problem is man and his choices. In our men's meeting one time, I found a place about men that I want to bring to the men. I think I've said it to the church. It starts with the man. If the man's messed up, he's going to mess his wife up. And then they're going to mess the children up. And then they're going to live in a community, and it's going to get messed up without God. And then that community's going to get messed up. And then that town's going to get messed up, and that state's going to get messed up, and the nation's going to get messed up, and the world's going to get messed up. That's what happens if a wrong choice, maybe just one wrong choice is made. But if you turn that over and do what God said to do, creating the family, and live by it, then the man's going to be blessed. The wife is going to be blessed. The children are going to be blessed. If they're doing what God says to do, they're going to love and worship Him. We're going to come to church. The church is going to be blessed. The city's going to be blessed because of that church. And it's going to go on. The state, just like I said before. In other words, whenever God blesses something, it don't just stop. The only thing that limit God's blessing is one thing, and that's unbelief. And all unbelief is the opposite of faith. It means you don't believe God enough to believe He said, I'll bless you, and this is what I'll do for you, and all you got to do is believe me. Every man and woman has a role in the family. The children have a role to play too. Now, Travis, and we're going to start with the man. Will you put Psalms 128 up there, please? I read this to the men in the men's meeting one time, and I come across it. I said, you know, it helped me a whole lot because I was having some leadership issues. It wasn't that I didn't want to lead. It's just I did not understand that, you know, if I just slowed down with my leadership ability that God put in me that I'm supposed to use, it's going to affect, like I just told you, my whole family. And we're going to affect people here, and we're going to affect people everywhere we go. But if you do it according to God's will, oh man. Now this, a lot of people don't realize that this whole chapter, this psalm is about a man, and I'll show you. It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is everyone who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who walks in His ways and lives according to His commandments. For you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Now, the next verse, what does it say? Your wife. Remember what I said a while ago? I can't stand up here and pretend to tell you what it's like, feel like to be a woman. I'm not one. But I can tell you what it will be like if your husband, women, are doing what he's supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do for my wife and your children. He says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. What does a vine do? It grows. It blooms. It blossoms. It decorates. It's nice to look at. It's a blessing. Now, some people might not like vines, but that's what the Bible is talking about here. It says a fruitful vine. Well, we'll take one of the most common fruit vines there is. It's grapes. If you take care of that vine, what you're going to get? You're going to get a blessing, a harvest blessing. Same thing applies here. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in innermost parts of your house. Now, this is taking it real personal. Your house is where you live. House is where you're at. And it says also here, your children shall be like olive plants round about your table. Now, to put that in perspective, in Israel, there are olive plants and olive trees that are almost 2,000 years old. Now, I'm not saying your children are going to live to be 2,000 years old. That goes against the Word of God. But if they're going to be like olive plants round about your table, that means they're going to grow and they're going to thrive. Why? Everyone who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who walks in His ways and lives according to His commandments. That's why. Men, myself, we have a job to do for our families. We have a responsibility. God didn't put Adam and Eve together and just say, whoop, there you are. Do the best you can do. He gave them everything they needed to be successful in their roles in the family. And He blessed the whole family. And you see further in the Word that the men are the ones supposed to take up the torch and get it going. What does that mean? Well, Harry S. Truman had a little thing on his desk when he was president. It says, the buck stops here. Anybody ever heard that? Us older folks have. What that means is there's nowhere past this point that you go to for any more decisions. This is it. Final decisions right here. Well, when it comes to the family, that's what the man is. And the man should be making God's ways and words the final decision and foremost authority in his life and the life of his family. And when that happens, your family, your wife, will be like a fruitful vine. She'll grow and flourish, and she'll be the best helper for you that God could ever make for you. In other words, you won't ever get nobody to help you anymore or love you any more than that. And your children will be like olive plants. They'll thrive. They'll see what the dad's doing with the mother. And they'll carry that on into their lives, whether you know it or not, good or bad or mediocre, halfway, whatever you do. They're going to carry that over in their lives. Now, some people realize whenever there's something bad going on in their family from their mother and their father, that that's not right, and they'll break that curse, and they'll get back to what's right. And the only right is from God and His Word. She's not the only one, but April is one of them that did that. And I praise God for it. She's been one of the biggest blessings I've ever had in my life. Not the biggest, but one of the biggest. And sometimes I have to just woe her up and say, look, you know, you need to just stand still and let me do some stuff for you. Because, man, if we were to write the list down, you know, I'm like, yeah, I did this and did this. And everybody says, zoom, going to have 3 pages before I can blink. And that's to her credit and not so much my credit. But I'm trying to turn that around. But I have to woe her up. Why is that? It's not really because of me, but it's because I stand on God's Word. I will stand on God's Word. And we will do things according to God's Word as much as I possibly can. Sometimes it causes me to have to raise my voice a little bit. Not with her, but just mostly used to be with the kids. But they do a lot better. Let's go to the next verse, Travis. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you out of Zion, His sanctuary. And may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Now, I like that where it says, may the Lord bless you out of Zion, His sanctuary. When the Lord blesses you, you can't get no better than that. Now, that's the role of the man. Now, I'm going to take another step further for the man. Will you put up Ephesians 5, 25 through 28, please, Travis? Now, I've read these verses all of my life. I didn't know them by heart, but I knew they were there, and I could quote them most of the time, at least part of them. But it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a big verse. Husbands. It's telling us right there that Christ loved the church that he gave his life for it. He's the Savior of the church. You husbands are supposed to be, me, supposed to be the Savior of our wife. Now don't get me wrong, we cannot give our wives salvation. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And only through Jesus. But in everyday life, whenever our wives do get to something, that whenever they're doing that flourishing and they're being fruitful and they're just being successful, something slows them down or bumps them, we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be there. When God said that He made us a helpmeet, it didn't mean she's supposed to be the only one that helps. We're supposed to help too. And I'll show you in Scripture in a little while something else. And I'm going to skip down to verse 28. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That says it pretty much in a nutshell. If you don't love your wife enough to sacrifice something for yourself to help her, you don't love her right. And I didn't say it. I just rephrased what the verse said. What did it say there? Ought a man to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Now, I like myself. I take care of myself most of the time. In other words, you know, I don't go out and chop my hand off just because I can. I don't want my hand. I want to keep it. That's kind of extreme. But I also don't want to go out, you know, and let's say April has to go outside and do something and it's raining like today. I ought to be Johnny on the spot. I'm sorry, Brother John, I didn't mean that. But you are Johnny on the spot a lot of times. I need to be right there and ready to go and do that for her if I ain't got nothing else I got to be doing. Now, I believe that. Now, you can't do everything for her. But you're supposed to be as good to her as God intends her to be to you and to me. I don't know if I give you this one, but it says also in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. One of the things I found out about love between a man and a woman, godly love, my wife, now I'm not going to lie, we have what I consider to be one of probably the closest thing to a perfect marriage I've ever seen. We rarely ever have any cross words with each other. We don't disagree much, but when we do, and this has been to my fault, sometimes my words would get bitter. Now, I ain't never said nothing really bad to her, but I mean, you know, just not being the right attitude. It says in, right there in Colossians 3:19, be not bitter against them. Now, I remember telling a guy one time, and I learned this, and it was a revelation to me here in this church after me and April got married also. I told a guy at work one time, he was asking me, and I don't know exactly why, but he come to me and said, you look like somebody that, you know, is down to earth. He said, I need to ask you something. I said, okay. Sure, I thought it was going to be about work. He said, me and my wife's having problems. I need some help. Now, I just about guarantee you, I don't know this guy. I've seen him, when I say at work, the way I work, I see people, certain people all the time, some of them that don't even know their names, driving a truck, you don't work side by side with them all day long. You see them here, there, and yonder. And I'd seen him a few times, and I didn't know him, he didn't know me, but he come to me and asked me that. I firmly believe that it was the Holy Spirit working through me to give him something that he needed. And the first thing I told him, something I learned here, I said, marriage between the man, the husband and wife is not 50-50. And he stopped what he was doing and looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, it's 100-100. And he kind of looked at me real funny. And he said, I ain't sure I understand that. I said, well, do you love your wife? Well, yeah, I love her. I said, well, do you love her because she loves you? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, then that's not right. If you love somebody, you don't love them just because they love you. Now, don't get me wrong, it helps tremendously. But if you really love somebody, you love them because you have the love in your heart for them. You're attracted to them when it comes to a man and a woman. And I was explaining this to him, going real long about that. He said, I never really thought about it that way. That is God's blessing for a woman from her husband, for a wife from her husband. Husband, be not bitter against your wives. That lady needs to know, except for God, you are the first and foremost thing in her life, and your life is her. Now, yes, you got to work, and yes, God comes first, and you better learn, men, to put it in priority. But you don't go out on the town with your buddies at night and leave your wife at home. I just don't think that's right. Now, you can go out sometimes and spend time away from her. I didn't say that was wrong. But if your wife wants to spend time with you, she should be a priority. What happens if you don't spend time with your wife? You start growing up. Somewhere or another, it's going to start growing apart. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give the devil place, meaning opportunity. If a man and a woman, husband and wife, don't spend enough time together, that's going to give the devil opportunity to work. Somewhere, somehow. Now I'm going to move on. God commands men to love their wife as their own flesh. In other words, don't hurt her that you wouldn't hurt yourself about. Now we're going on to fathers. Ephesians 6:4, please. Fathers, do not irritate, this is the Amplified Version, and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them. That means, as Brother Scotty says, frustrate them, to resentment. But rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. Now this was a big one for me. My daddy was fairly laid back, but he was pretty strict. When he said something, he meant it. There was no discussion, let alone disobedience. My mother, whew, When she said it, she was like, well, you know, when she said it, if there was any disobedience or any kind of discussion about it, there's punishment. You're going to get a whooping when you're a kid. And you're going to get smacked upside the mouth if you backtalk. Now, my daddy was pretty good about, pretty strict about backtalk. My sister had a fat lip, proved that. But what I'm saying is, you can, I got it into me that whenever I said something, that's it. Well, I had to learn, because if you frustrate your children to the point they ain't going to listen to you, how are you going to teach them? They won't listen. They'll turn a deaf ear. Now, I ain't saying that you're supposed to give in to them and spoil them to the point to where they do whatever they want to. No, there has to be discipline. There has to be. But learn how to go about it according to the Lord. Now, the Bible does not have a detailed word-for-word thing, but I'm going to tell you what I did. I said, Lord, because I seen I was frustrating some of my children by my strictness. Now, some strictness I won't come off of, but I was really strict. And I said, Lord, I love these guys and this girl with all my heart, as if they're my own. They've been with me a long time. They're not going to be with me forever. And I understand that if I don't learn how to get your word into them and keep their ears open, that they're going to turn their ears off, and I don't want that. Help me. And I'm a lot better at it than I used to be. I'm might be almost there, but I'm a lot better than I used to be. Because if no matter what you teach your kids, if they do get to the point where they start turning their ears off to you, what are they hearing? Nothing from you but whatever they're turning their ears on to. They're going to go somewhere. There's nothing left but the world. Other people, peers, friends. Nobody's going to love them like their parents do, godly parents. And granted, it has already come about, you know, some of the things I would not back off of, the children that are out of the house and understand now, say, I understand why you told me what you did, why you're so strict about what you did. I understand now. But I've got to be to the point where they've got to be able to hear what I'm telling them. Because if they can't hear what I'm telling them and teaching them, then they're not, it's just going to fly through their head. Okay, I got to get a little further, quicker here. I'm about out of time. Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, please. Okay, ladies, it's your turn. I'm going to read the Word of God to you. Like I said, I ain't got time to tell you a joke, but I'll tell it one of these days. I ain't got time to, you know, pretend I know exactly what y'all think or want, except for what God's Word says. It says, wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your husbands as service to the Lord. For the husband's head of the wife is Christ, is the head of the church, himself, the Savior of his body. Now, you remember what I said a while ago, the Savior? Christ, says here, is the Savior of the body of the church. The husband is Savior of the wife when it comes to life. I explained that, so I don't have to go over all of that again. But that's where we need to be. And I'm going to tell you from experience, I'm 63 years old and I'm still learning. And it's not her fault. I mean, women are different than men. You know, I've got the pleasure of having a wife that has a lot in common with me. She likes cars. She likes motorcycles. She don't like guitars a whole lot. She likes them a little bit. That's not a fault like I used to think it was. But she likes a lot of stuff I like. That makes it a lot easier for me. But when it comes to certain things, I'll ask her, why in the world we got to do this? She'll say, I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. And I said, why do we got to do that? Because that's what I want to do. Now, it ain't against anything that's against God, number one, so it's not ungodly. It's not, you know, illegal against the law of the land. It's just the way she wants to do it. So I've learned, well, what's the harm in her doing it the way she wants to do it? You know, if it's not against God, it's not against the law, and it's not against me, and there's no harm in it, just let her do what she wants to do about it. Now, as each subject comes up or whatever, you're going to have to get with the Lord and give him, through the Holy Spirit, let him give you, you know, revelation of that. Because, as Brother Scott and Sister Teresa said, you know, they have a marriage where they don't have a lot in common. But they do have one thing in common. They love each other and they love the Lord. So therefore, it can work. I've just got it a little easier because my wife got a lot in common with me. But some things she don't have in common with me. And when it comes to those times, I have to learn, because number one, she's submissive to me. And she'll come to me and say, this is what I want to do. If you don't have a problem, I'd like to do it this way. And when she does that, you know, the first thing I do is say, okay, it's not against the Lord. It's not against the law. I can't find any reason why there's no reason she shouldn't be able to do it that way. But she'll come to me and ask me, because she knows that the man is the head of the house. She don't go off on her own doing everything, especially if it's something real important. And same way with men. If you're doing something that, you know, you're not going to back off of, you still need to communicate it to your wife. She's part of your life. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:14, please. I've only got about 1 minute. I got to hurry. Paul's writing here to Timothy. He said, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to speak to the adversary, to speak reproachfully. Put that just mildly. It says what it says. In other words, this is one of the roles of the women and as a mother. Now I've got to stop. Exodus 20:12, and then I'm going to stop there. And also in Ephesians, if you'll read it, it says it's the job of the fathers to teach the children. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You want to live a long time? Honor your mother and father. If you're under that, I guess, teenage years, obey them. If you're in your teenage years, do what they want you to do. Why? Because if you don't, I guess the opposite of that's true. Limit your days on the earth. Well, that's all I got this